numbers told the story they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy to be with you here on a Monday. It's a Wednesday. I got to figure out what day of the week it is. Eventually I'll get it right. I'm Jeff Parlson for Gil. Ben Wilson's in my chair today. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Jeff. It is Wednesday.
Yeah. I'll figure it out. It's Monday for you and I together. Three day week.
We had a lovely time last night on primetime action together, even though you had two pretty hilarious MLB losses. But look, when it's the middle of summer, that's sometimes what gets you through a show. And
I will say is, so Ben and I have done primetime action. I think that was the third time you and I had done that show together. On two of the three primetime action shows that you and I have done, we have had just some ridiculous thing occur. You with back in March, where you had a first half live under, where a guy legitimately threw in a three-pointer where he chucked the ball from behind his head and over the top like that, somehow went in. And then last night, where we have an in-game over in a baseball game where Davey Martinez is challenging the final out of a game down 10 runs. You ended up surviving your bet. I did not last night.
When the Royals are incapable of scoring any runs, you figure any team total bet under is probably safe with them, and that was again the case last night.
Yeah, the Royals are not good. Not good for sure. Oh, here we go, Ben. We get to go into the show here real quick. By the way, Alex Schiffer is going to join us next segment, talk NBA with him, Josh Towers, Jason Weingarten, Brady Cannon, our guys that will be with us throughout the show. Up Brady probably for 11:15 on today. We got a lot to talk about in the golf sphere because this morning, Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed, the latest defections from the PGA Tour to the new LIV Golf Tour. They won't play this week in London, but it looks like they will be playing next week in Portland, which will be the first stop in the United States for Greg Norman and Saudi Arabia's LIV Tour. So we'll see. Not really surprising in the end, despite DeChambeau's denial after Phil Mickelson's absurdist comments a few months ago. But DeChambeau ends up there along with Reed, and then joining the group, which includes Taylor Gooch and Dustin Johnson and Kevin Na, and of course Lefty himself in LIV. By the way, that is 2 weeks from now, I should say, in Portland. Of course, next week in the Country Club next week there at Brookline, Massachusetts for the U.S. Open. But Ben, this just came across. We have the officiating assignment for tonight's game three. And normally we would only bring up the refs if a certain few people are involved. I'll give you one guess. The head official for tonight's game three in Boston is Ben.
Does it rhyme with Tot Scottster?
Yeah, you got that right. Yes, okay. Yes. Yes, Scott Foster will be in Boston tonight. David Guthrie, Courtney Kirkland rounding out the crew. Oh, they don't have Kate Fitzgerald is in the replay center. I don't know if that's any good, if there's going to be any critical replays with Fitzgerald there in Secaucus tonight. But there is a game three tonight, and now it's weird. I want to call him the extender, but what are we extending in a series that's already tied at one? Get Golden State on the board? We know he hates Draymond, so.
I just know my rhyming mechanism just made me think of Scott's tots, which
Yes.
Yes, great stuff right there.
I don't know. Scott Foster, Michael Scott, probably equal levels of self-awareness when it's all said and done. But the Warriors and the Celtics, game three tonight in Boston. The Celtics favored in a 1-1 series, 3.5-point favorites tonight. Warriors still favored in the series, -115 overall. I said this yesterday on both shows. I said this on primetime action, and I said this on yesterday here on a numbers game. But you're looking at a series where I would have no problem just taking the dog the rest of the way. But for tonight, this feels like a really good in-game opportunity tonight, Ben, where we just take advantage of whoever goes down large. Someone's going to be up double figures in this game. It's just a matter of when. And it's just a matter of timing what it's been this whole postseason where you just take the team that's getting down 15. All right, we'll take Golden State getting 11 or whatever it end up being. Boston falls down double digits. All right, we'll take Boston at a plus and plus the points for the first time in this game. But this series, as I said yesterday, Ben, it just feels like it is just an even series where right now, if you made me bet it today with Golden State a minus 115 favorite and the Celtics at minus 105, I would probably bet the Celtics. That's probably the way I would go, despite the fact that the Warriors have the best player in this series in Steph Curry. But I Boston's the better full team, especially like you and I talked last night on Primetime Action. If Klay Thompson is not going to show up here, it is going to be awfully hard for the Warriors to win this series without a second true score. And if Klay is not going to be that guy that puts the pressure on Wiggins, who going to need his defense, Draymond doesn't score anymore. You're asking Jordan Poole off the bench to have big scoring impact. So the Warriors need Klay. And for tonight, his point total is 19.5. I think that point total way too high for Klay. At least a bucket too high for a guy who just doesn't look like he's been able to do anything. There are your player props for tonight. VSiN.com, of course. You can go check out all the great betting information we have at VSiN.com right now. Klay at 19.5 is too high. Steph at 28.5 is about right. I like Looney over 6.5. That's the only thing on a Warriors side I really like from a points per points, or really, honestly, any of those player props. Rebounds, I think all the numbers are right. Assists, I think all the numbers are right. But Ben, just looking at this game all the way around, if Klay doesn't step up here, it's going to be very hard to see Golden State at least taking tonight, and heck, even taking any games in Boston in this series. They're going to need Klay to show up in one of these games, whether it be tonight, whether it be two nights from now in game four, or eventually, let's face it, this series is not going to end in five. And if it does, that means someone, one of these two teams, really put the pedal to the metal and really put the hammer down. I would be looking at Klay Thompson's under tonight, because I don't think it's tonight where Klay has the big game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, and we heard Steve Kerr even say after game two, this is such a high variance series. And when you have a coach admitting that, when you have two teams each basically on their own attempting roughly in the range of 40% of their overall field goals are from three, you're gonna have a lot of these back and forth type big swings. And it's been what, first two games, Jeff, we've seen in the first game, each team had a 15-point lead. Second game, obviously, the Warriors winning a blowout here. So you got to think the likelihood of somebody leading by 15 or at least double digits is pretty high in this game. So if you're looking at it like that, yes, I would say your in-game perspectives lean towards exactly what you're saying. Got a chance of making some dog-firing in-game props. But at the same time, if there's going to be variance and there's going to be threes shot and made, Klay Thompson has to figure into that. And from what I've seen out of him, when you're shooting 32% and you're averaging less than 14 a game, and it doesn't really look like you can beat anybody off the dribble, and no defender is really giving you any respect of that and just playing right in your face, yeah, it becomes difficult. We saw the quotes yesterday, Steve Kerr basically saying he's pressing, he knows he's trying to do too much. I don't really know if it's even been that, because he's been kind of invisible for large stretches, Jeff. It's not like he's bringing in a ton of boards and firing, assisting on a bunch of buckets. It's like he's sort of just posting up in the corner waiting for his chance, because he really knows that mobility isn't there right now. So I don't know that he's pressing. He's just clearly not 100%, and it's really, really hard when you're a guy who relies on beating other players off the dribble and you're facing a really, really elite defense to have that success if you are not healthy, and he clearly isn't right now.
I don't think it's pressing. I don't think it is more than anything. I think it's just that this is kind of what he is right now. And when you have the two significant injuries that Klay has had, and again, it was a compact period of time with the ACL and the Achilles for Klay, and even though he's been back for months now, it could take a whole year for Klay to be back to what he was, or maybe even, sadly enough, maybe Klay is never what he was pre-injury again, and yet Golden State is here in these finals. Ben, we talked about this on Primetime Action also. On the the Boston side, for props, Horford and White are the two numbers that stand out to me. You got guys with both 11.5 point totals here for the player props. Again, these are consensus odds between DraftKings and BetMGM and FanDuel across the betting sphere. Horford to me, you're in a scenario where you're looking at ping-ponging between, basically. Horford went way over in game one, way under in game two. I expect him to go over again 11.5 in game three. Again, role players usually play better at home. Horford has had a few great shooting games in this postseason, most of them at home, except for game one. Derek White, we talked about this last night and yesterday, there is going to be a point where Derek White's point total gets too inflated. 11.5 is probably not that level. If you get to a 12.5, a 13.5 with White, let's say White tonight pours in 17. Game four would be the scenario where you look to play Derek White under, because you're just going to have a number that's so inflated at that point that you're asking Derek White that basically if you get 12.5, 13.5, you're asking Derek White to hit four threes at least in order to go over those.
If you talk to some people around these parts, they'd say Derek White, 500-1 to win Finals MVP.
We're good, Ben. We're good. We don't need that.
No, there's been a lot of Derek White love. And it's amazing to me just to go back to January when they traded for him and he couldn't make a 18-footer.
No, couldn't do anything.
Like, that is, to me, the thing for Boston. And aside from the whole Ime Udoka having just an amazing rookie season with growth as a coach, but a guy who they traded for who could not even shoot the basketball is now like a legitimate
important
part
piece
of their offensive rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Horford as well, who, again, looked totally done in Philadelphia. Looks like a real player again in Boston. We're going to continue the discussion in the NBA. Alex Schiffer covers the league in the Brooklyn Nets for The Athletic. We'll get him next. We saw a lot of Boston this year. We'll get his perspective on these NBA finals here on A Numbers Game on VSiN.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Load Nevada's premier sports betting app. It is BetMGM. BetMGM is all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports wagers from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It is A Numbers Game here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil. We'll see Gil next week. Well-earned vacation for Gilly. See him next week. Ben Wilson's in my chair. It's the Mizzou duo for the rest of the week, which is good. Be fun.
I wore my special Mizzou volleyball 2013 quarter zip.
Yes. 2013? Yeah, I guess so. Wow.
SEC championship.
That's 9 years ago already.
Yeah.
It's craziness. Now we bring in another Mizzou grad. He covers the NBA and the specifically usually the Brooklyn Nets, but once the Nets were eliminated, really the whole league this guy covers, and it is Alex Schiffer joining us right now. Alex, pleasure as always. How you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm on my way to the MoMA. Ben, I wore Mizzou polo today, coincidentally, and that 2013 volleyball team was pretty damn good. I think they were undefeated.
36-0, yeah.
One loss.
36-0, until they lost, yes, to Purdue.
Yes.
The memories we're conjuring up here. It's great.
Yes, I love that we're getting Schiffer on the way into the city to go to MoMA. That's good. The cultured Alex Schiffer himself with us right now. Alex, let's just start through two games. What's your biggest takeaway so far between Boston and Golden State?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think either team has been dominant, you know, throughout, obviously. Jason Tatum hasn't really played the way I thought he would. Just kind of been a mixed bag, really, given what the conference final suggested more than anything else.
Yeah, and just looking at this more than anything, let's start on the Golden State side here, because let's face it, they're one bad quarter away from being up 2-0, holding serve here. But really, more than anything, Steph Curry's obviously been amazing in this series. But there's going to have to be a second scorer for Golden State in order to win this series in all likelihood, Alex. And we just haven't seen it from Klay. Do you think at this point of what Klay is, do you think he is capable of giving even maybe two good performances would be enough at this point?
Yeah, I think that's the question. You know, as you said, I mean, I feel like a lot of people these past few days have been, it's been the Clay Thompson isn't what it used to be talk. And I get that, but I also think it was such a, you know, he joined them in 2022. He missed the first few months of the season. I'd kind of like to see what he does with a full off season and next season before writing him off. But, I mean, the bottom line is the Warriors can't win the series with the way he's playing. And as you said, where's the scoring going to come from? That's not Draymond or Gary Payton, the second game by any means. You know, Andrew Wiggins, I think, has been very good for them throughout the playoffs. But, again, not – outside of the one game against Dallas, he hasn't really gone off. So I think that's the question, is where's the other scoring going to come from? Because you start to go down the lineup. Jordan Poole's another candidate, obviously, but you know they just haven't gotten it from the guys they need to step up given Clay's performance.
Who's the one, what's the one adjustment, I should say, that you're looking for Kerr to make over these next few games?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, I don't know if there's anything he can do with Clay. I mean, I think Clay's been forcing some shots. Is there anything he can say to maybe get him in a better headspace with some of that stuff and maybe just create some better looks for him? But defensively, I mean, I don't really think after the way they had Draymond get in Boston's head last game, there's anything to really do. So I think it's just offensively, is there a way that they can get one of these guys going to give Steph some supporting help? And if it's not going to be Clay, you know, who's the guy that they try to maybe pick as their guy?
Alex Schiffer with us right now here on A Numbers Game. Covers the Brooklyn Nets primarily for The Athletic, but as soon as the Nets get eliminated, he covers the entire NBA for The Athletic. And Schiff, let's just move over to the Boston side here. Look, you watched you saw the Celtics a lot. Of course, they played the Nets four times in the regular season. They swept the Nets in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Now the Celtics are here. And, Alex, the biggest thing more than anything for me with this team, forget the players for a second, is just how Ime Udoka has improved throughout this year. And, look, he doesn't look like a first-year coach by this time. And Alex, at this point, we have to trust him like he is a veteran head coach as opposed to just his first-year head coach coaching a team in the finals where, again, a lot of these guys have not been in this stage.
Yeah, no, I've been extremely impressed with him. You know, I didn't get to know him that well with all the COVID restrictions last year, but, you know, I have a good relationship with Aaron Miles of KU, his assistant. I joked with Aaron that, you know, there's that scene that they talked about in an Athletic story about, you know, Ime, after that sluggish Celtics start, not being able to connect with the team that well, and Aaron kind of like putting him in a wall saying, this isn't you, you're not being hard enough on him. I told him, I was like, that's something out of a movie. You got to give him credit. I mean, the job he did on Kevin Durant in the first round, I mean, obviously Milwaukee in the second round didn't have Middleton, but, like, over the course of a series, he's just kind of figured out what they need. And they're at this stage, obviously, right now where you can't count them out. Even they've come back from so many deficits. Every time you think they're dead and buried, they come back. So, I mean, he's been tremendous. And it kind of, to me, it just kind of makes you wonder why did it take this long for him to get a head coaching job? Because he's been a name in the mix for jobs really the last five off seasons, if not more.
Well, yeah, I'm happy you brought that last part up. By the way, Celtics 6-0 off of losses this postseason. I'm no mathematician, but based off the numbers we had on there, 6-0 against the number as well in those six games, covering every single one of them after losses this postseason. But I like that last point you brought up because this is every once in a while you see a coach that gets a job that you didn't expect to be filled or in a job that is one of those where you didn't expect Stevens to go to get a promotion, get to a different job within the organization. And you got to think here, this could be a different looking thing for Udoka if he got the Detroit job or the Houston job, as opposed to a job where he had a lot of talent right away. And here you are with Boston in the finals.
Yeah, no, it's definitely good food for thought. I also don't think people know, to tie this back to my beat, but that Ime Udoka was the original backup plan, had Kenny Atkinson turn down the job, whatever year that was, 2016. So, it's also, as you kind of said, an interesting case study of, like, what could have been. I mean, clearly a lot of these guys that get pushed out of their job know how to coach, but sometimes the hand they're dealt just doesn't really do them any services. So, to me, it's kind of a perfect storm for him, where he got his first job with a ready-to-compete team, and obviously they haven't taken a step back by any means.
I also think Brad Stevens is getting talked about enough for the job he's done as GM.
Absolutely. Alex, before we let you go here and let you go enjoy MoMA this morning, just what do you like tonight? What do you expect the rest of this series as well? So I guess a little bit of a game three prediction and then a rest of the series prediction for you.
Yeah, you know, I have it going deep for sure. I think it goes seven. You know, tonight I'm kind of curious. I mean, you don't really see Jason Tatum put three bad games together, or just three games not like himself. You know, I thought after he dropped 50 on the Nets in March that, you know, I didn't want to say at the time, but now I think it's fair to, you know, he's as effortless a scorer as the league has up there with KD and those other guys when they're going. So I'm curious to see what they get out of him. And obviously with Clay, I mean, you know, again, since he was forcing shots and really not doing them any services the past two games, granted, they didn't need it in game two and they were up so big. Just can he even just get to the right headspace where he's not forcing anything and to be playing within the flow of the game? That alone might be a win to kind of try and get him going.
He's Alex Schiffer. You can find his great work at The Athletic. On the tweets at Alex_Schiffer, covers the Nets, covers the NBA for The Athletic. Schiff, always a pleasure to have you on. Go enjoy MoMA for Ben and I this morning.
Yeah, first time going to an art museum. We'll see if there's a second trip.
Wow, look at that. The cultured Alex Schiffer. Thanks, buddy, as always, for Alex hopping on. Ben, I'm kind of, that's the last thing he dropped is the most surprising thing. Surprised he's never been to it. Grew up in New Jersey, right outside Manhattan. How has he never been to an art museum before? How's that possible?
There's a lot of great art in this lovely country, especially in the Northeast Corridor, Jeff.
Yes, 100%. He'll enjoy MoMA. Last week on the vacation, Ben went to the Museum of Natural History, but because of a giant line to get in, we had planned to go through for about an hour and 15 minutes before a lunch reservation. The line took 40 minutes to get in, so we had to basically race through everything. We did get the dinosaurs, at least. That's the best thing.
I'm surprised Schiffer hasn't been to the Louvre. I mean, he seems like a guy who would love a croissant on the outdoor balcony of the Louvre after taking ancient artifacts.
Next time I talk to him, we'll have to see if he's been to Paris. But I'm kind of with you on that. But MoMA's one of those. The quick tourist update here. If you've never been to MoMA, you should go to that one. It's a good place. Good place there in Manhattan. Josh Towers. We'll switch over to the Diamond. We'll actually ask Josh his thoughts on the Mets and also, too, how would he handle what the Angels have been through the last 2 weeks as a player? That's next. Josh Towers joins us here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN Summer Special is here, and for just $39 American, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now through the end of July. The next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com and at VSiN, and subscribers will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, JVT with all the best bets on the NBA through the finals, Andy McNeil breaking down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup Final. We'll have plenty of preseason coverage for the NFL, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bet email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly. By the way, this week's will be edition 250 of Point Spread Weekly. Use of our betting tools and a live video stream whenever you want it. The cost is just $39 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now. VSiN.com/summer. Happy to be with you this morning. I'm Jeff Parzen for Gil Alexander. Ben Wilson is here as well. And now with us, of course, our VSiN MLB analyst. Of course, he pitched in the majors. Stops in Toronto, Baltimore, New York, Colorado, to name a few places. It's our guy, Josh Towers. Good morning, Josh.
Jeff, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear you this morning. And I just want to start off, let's start with the Angels, because Joe Maddon gets canned yesterday. Phil Nevin takes over. They're in the midst of this ridiculous long losing streak. They lose again. in extra innings last night to the Red Sox, 6-5. That losing streak has now reached a baker's dozen of 13. And Josh, if you're on this team right now, especially with a team that got off to such a great start with arguably the two best players in baseball on the team, what are you doing at this point when you're losing 13 straight and seemingly absolutely everything is going against you?
Like I was saying yesterday, I had a 9-game losing streak in Toronto, and it felt like eternity. It felt like the you never won. You couldn't even remember the last time. It's a really strange feeling. You got to go back to the basics of what the game is and what we're trying to accomplish. And the Angels, they don't seem to be doing that. They don't seem to be trying to manufacture. They don't seem to be, like, kind of get creative. And then the pitching is just – I don't know. The pitching is always the issue. I mean, guys have, you know, respectful numbers across the board, but, you know, the first two relievers come in and give up a run right away. And you really start to press as an individual. Every single person starts to press. You want to get the big hit. You have to get this out. And I think that's the key word is I have to. And you don't, you have to trust your teammates, and they're not doing it. It is a lonely, lonely feeling out there. You hear everything in the stands. That's the hardest part too. When you're going well, you hear nothing. When you're going bad, you hear every whisper, every comment, and you can't get out of your head. I'm sure at some point they've already went out and just all got hammered and tried to go that route. I hope they did at least. I don't know what they need to do, man, to be honest with you. I didn't think that it was Joe Maddon's fault, but somebody always has to take the blame.
Yeah, that was one of those where it just kind of felt like, and it's kind of the same thing that happened with the Phillies last week, where they fired Girardi, let Rob Thompson be the interim. Phillies have won 5 in a row since that has happened. But it just felt like, Josh, more than anything, for Maddon, a career that kind of ends with a whimper at this point for him. Of course, he has the World Series in Chicago in 2016, but it seems like after the NLCS appearance in 2017, regardless of where he was, of course, he got canned in Chicago and now canned in L.A., just a guy who almost lost his touch, even though I am with you. It wasn't necessarily his fault that things went as awry as they did in Anaheim.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think it's Joe's – Joe's style of coaching is so much more relaxed and so chill, and you have to have the right environment. Chicago mm-hmm. and those guys – created a great environment. They love dressing up on the road and doing different stuff. And maybe the boys in Anaheim didn't see it the same way. Listen, it's nothing right now and today. Okay, so you got Ohtani, and you're banking on Noah Syndergaard, who hasn't pitched in a couple of years, and you rushed a kid in Detmers at the big leagues because you have no pitching. And again, you cannot forget the fact that last year's draft, they drafted 20 pitchers in 20 rounds, which is idiotic. They develop horribly. And that's the reality. They're not developing enough pitching. They don't know how to do it in the minor league system to continue to bring guys to the big leagues to help out what they have and help out the free agents that they come in. And the Dylan Bundy's last year was an opening day starter, was awful. And that's the issue. I mean, Suarez did fine last night, but he threw 91 pitches, so he can only go 5 innings. And they need way more than that. The pitching is the biggest issue. It's always been the Angels' biggest issue. And until they seriously address the issue in the minor leagues, nothing's going to change.
Josh Towers with us right now, talking baseball, of course, a former major league pitcher himself and RV Sin MLB analyst. Josh, just looking at the rest of the AL real quick, we'll get to the Yankees in a second, but another team that has underachieved, the White Sox, they're a game underwater. They're 4 games behind Minnesota. You can finally get a plus price on them to win the AL Central at BetMGM at +105. Do you think it's time to take a shot on the Sox to win the AL Central, or have you seen through 53 games a team that you don't think is capable of even winning that division despite being big favorites going into the year?
Yeah, I mean, on paper they're beautiful, right? Like, on paper it's it. But again, this team they haven't been healthy. Their pitching has been inconsistent. The starters, there's no Lance Lynn. And we kind of saw this a little bit last year. And kind of like what the Mets are doing, who obviously are playing out of their shoes. They're giving Jacob and Max and Tyler Mega an opportunity to take their time to get ready, which is beautiful. The Indians are playing good baseball because their style in which they play and their pitching staff always gives them an opportunity, which keeps them around. But listen, at this point, you're still only 4 games back, and you played about as bad as I think the White Sox can possibly play. And I'm only a series behind this team. Like, that's got to give them a little bit of a little bit of life, a little bit of hope. And it's, again, it's afforded some of these guys like Lance Lynn the luxury to almost take their time a little bit. And Cueto, again, he's 0-2 and he pitches today, but he's pitched great. I still think the White Sox long-term are the play, but, you know, things are going to have to start taking shape here pretty soon. And again, we're only 2 months into a six-month season.
Of course. Josh, long-term, who do you like better, the Yankees or the Stros?
Oh, wow. I don't even know how to answer that question. I guess I'm still shocked at how well the Yankees are playing. But, again, the complete opposite of the Angels, like we just talked about, Jeff. I mean, the Yankees pitching, everybody goes 6 or 7, sets the bullpen up beautifully. The offense complements them. The pitching gives them an opportunity to not have to do too much. And when the offense decides to have a good day, it complements the pitching. And I think the Astros are equally as good. I there are not as many big names in that rotation, but these guys have been, you know, cutting their teeth in the playoffs the last few years, and now they're leading this charge. That's a pretty even question, man. I think both these teams are pretty legit.
No, it's pretty funny with the Astros, who, again, seemingly they lose a guy in free agency every offseason. This offseason, yeah, it was Correa, and because of what happened with the sign-stealing stuff, they kind of don't get to do for how well they just, all right, who cares? We lose Correa. Jeremy Pena right now is the second favorite to win the American League Rookie of the Year. Like you said, Verlander back from his injury, but behind him, you have guys like Valdez and Garcia and Urquidy who have been great. This is an organization that ever since that total blow-up and rebuild, it doesn't matter who's on that roster. The team just wins.
No, yeah. Again, it tells you about the minor leagues and it tells you about the structure. I mean, yeah, you get a serious black eye when you do some cheating like they did, but just stealing pitches alone isn't going to make you successful. I mean, you still got to hit it, you still got to field it, you still got to throw it. And this team's done a really, really good job for a long time. And they clearly like Dusty over there, and they got rid of some of the front office staff that was kind of like a cancer. And they went back to, again, listen, what they did was awful. You steal signs, but you don't steal signs that way. But they still had all of this young talent. They still had all of these players, and not everybody partook in that, and not everybody was hitters. Like, this team has done a great job of developing for a long time.
Josh, we have about a minute here. NL Central is the tightest race right now, 50-some-odd games into the season for both teams. Brewers have a half-game lead over the Cardinals right now. And the biggest thing with this is the Brewers are still a pretty significant favorite, all things considered, to win a division. Minus 250 at BetMGM for Milwaukee, plus 175 for St. Louis. Do you think the Cardinals are worth a shot at that price?
Check the remaining schedule. I mean, again, Milwaukee does a really good job of beating teams they're supposed to beat. We rarely see what we saw last night where they lose with Hader on the mound late. But they got the confident Phillies going right now. They've lost 4 in a row. The thing is they're under 500 versus teams with a better than 500 record. And that's what we know about the Brewers, right? We know mm-hmm. that's the hard part. That's the playoff team that doesn't win. They beat up everybody else. And so remaining schedule, I think, is going to be important there. But, I mean, plus money, I'm okay taking the Cardinals.
Cardinals right now, half game out. Both teams losing late. Hader gave up 2 homers in the 9th inning last night. And the Cardinals gave up a walk-off in the 10th. To Tampa Bay, losing that one 4-2. He's Josh Towers on the tweets at No Don't Josh. Of course, you can find him here across the network on a few shows as well. Josh, pleasure as always. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Take care, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Of course, we're going to continue the MLB discussion next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, of course, brought to you by BetMGM, and there's never been a better time to find out why. BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. New customers can download the BetMGM app and place a $10 money line wager on any NBA Finals game, and if either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $200 in free bets. Just use the code VSiN200. And when you make your first bet, you can take advantage of that great offer. Sign up now. Discover why BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more make BetMGM the best in the business. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. And again, use the bonus code VSIN200, that's VSIN200, to win $200 in free bets if either team hits a three-pointer in any NBA Finals game. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older to place a wager. New customer offer only. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. And those free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. This promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's weird. It's still I know it's been almost 6 months, but it's still amazing to say New York. Shattering every record in the book on handle right now, that state. No shock there, Ben Wilson.
We had a great time making some wagers in New York and other legal jurisdictions.
Yeah, New York was actually of the newer ones I was in. New York, I did not place anything. I was distracted with other fun and merriment.
By MoMA, of course.
Yeah, the Museum of Natural History, Central Park, visiting family on Long Island. A little distracted, but New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, yes, took full advantage of those places while on vacation. All right, Ben, we are nearing the 60-game plateau of this baseball season, which means we always have to remind ourselves, we got 100 games left. But the biggest thing so far for me, and I'll start in the American League because I have one on each side, I thought the Yankees were going to be a disappointment this year, all things considered, as in, all right, they make the wild card game again, Toronto or Tampa beats them in division for the second straight year. Yankees get a crack in that three-game play-in scenario that we get in those wild card series now. But I did not expect them to be an overwhelming threat to win a World Series or win a pennant like a lot of people did before the year. And I will admit, could not have been more wrong. Because, Ben, the biggest thing with the Yankees at this point, first off, they're 40-15. 55 games in, 40-15. The Blue Jays, who are 11 games over 500, after a pretty sluggish start, they finally started hitting with runners in scoring position. The Blue Jays are 7 games behind the Yankees, despite being 11 games over 500. That 11 games over 500 would be leading 2 other divisions in baseball, including the AL Central. And Ben, the way the Yankees are built, the biggest thing, because you have a lineup, and again, their health, they've battled some injuries, but the biggest thing is that Aaron Judge has stayed healthy so far, and Aaron Judge may end up having, if he stays healthy this whole year on this pace, he's going to end up with about a 13 war, which would be one of the greatest seasons of all time. But their bullpen, even with Aroldis Chapman basically being ineffective and hurt, finding Clay Holmes, who... Again, it's kind of amazing how they find these guys. Clay Holmes, who was legitimately bad in Pittsburgh, now is the best reliever in baseball so far this year. And I'm at a point, Ben, where it is going to take a lot for the Yankees, A, to not win a division, but B, if they have home field advantage in the playoffs, in a short series, I trust them against either of those teams in the AL East. I don't think Tampa's anywhere near the level that they usually are, even though they are still a good team. The Blue Jays short series, I'll take the better pitching, which the Yankees, even though the Blue Jays improved their starting pitching and have two guys who in theory should be true frontline guys, and in Gausman, who has been, Berrios, who is not this year, and then of course your guy Manoah, who has been quite good so far this year. But Ben, the problem with betting anything Yankee-related is these numbers are too short now. 2-1 to win the AL, laying $2 to win the AL East. But they are so far and away the best team for 55 games, it is hard to ignore what they are. And if you put them in a series against anyone in the AL, I would lay a series spread probably at this point. That'd probably be the way you'd get to it. Again, we have months and months and months from now, but they are just so much better than everybody else.
Well, and I get that. I think a lot of people are going to say, all right, now it's too short. You know, there's not value. But you look at Fangraphs. I mean, they're at 73.4% now to win that division. And that's in a division that
it's
is
a great
really,
division.
Really
it's the best one in baseball.
It's a really good division. You're nearly 75% on June 8th. And I think a lot of it is I think the general thought in the past on the Yankees has always been they're super top heavy. And as a result, when these guys who've had injury issues in the past, like an Aaron Judge or a Giancarlo Stanton, go down, they are weakened to the point where there's just not a lot of consistency. And same deal in the bullpen. And keep in mind, you mentioned Chapman. Like, it's not just him. You have Loaisiga out on the IL. You have Chad Green, who's been really, really good
for
them.
Chad Green's done for the year with Tommy John, yep.
And of course, Zach Britton, who's we don't know when if he'll come back at all this year after the Tommy John from last season. So this is a Yankee team that in the past, you're completely right, Jeff, with the guys that are out and the types of positions that they are in, this is a team that just wouldn't have much depth behind them. But some of the little moves they've made, and I mean, the Rizzo trade has been tremendous for them. You look at them top. If you look at the major six categories, both hitting and pitching, they're top 10 in every single hitting category, including number one in homers, two in OPS. They're top four in every starting pitching category, which is pretty ridiculous. And they're top 10 in every relief pitching category. So this is not just a top heavy, like traditional, okay, Yankees team with a bunch of stars and scrubs who we're just going to inflate in the market because they're the Yankees. This is actually like a legitimately, like from top to bottom, a team that is as good as any right now. And it's, you know, I'm not at all surprised to see the numbers go where they are. I don't know that they're actually too short, Jeff. I think the numbers are fair now. It took us a little time to get there because of the perceived challenges and the perceived strengths of that division that they're in.
And well, and also, too, you're dealing with it, like you said, it's the best division in baseball. I don't think you can argue that. It is much better top to bottom than the NL West because Boston and Baltimore, again, the fourth place Red Sox right now, would be the sixth seed in the American League. You'd be looking at four AL East teams right now making the American League playoffs if they started today. And then Baltimore, you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday off the air, Ben. The Baltimore Orioles they're not good by any stretch, but they're a reasonable team in a tough out this year. Nine games under, they're 500 at Camden Yards. That is a great division. The Yankees are just running right through. The rest of the AL, look, the White Sox probably do end up winning that division. If you can get a plus price to win the AL Central, I don't mind it. But I just don't like the way that team has looked at any point this year, battling injuries. I don't like La Russa at this point. Game's completely passed them by, as we know. I don't trust them. They kind of feel like they were last year, Ben, where we thought this year would be the year they take the leap. It may end up being next year the White Sox truly take that leap to being a legitimate World Series contender. The Astros and the Yankees are going to get the 1-2 in the AL. Whoever wins that Central is going to have to play a wild card series, best of three, against more than likely the sixth seed in the American League. Well, actually, not more than likely. It would be the sixth seed in the American League. It doesn't matter what the records of the wild cards are. The third division champion would be the three seed. On the NL side, look, Ben, very, very simple here. The Dodgers and the Mets, to me, are in a different class than everyone else. The Mets right now are still awaiting more word on Pete Alonso's injury. He took a fastball to the hand last night, left the game. Initial x-rays were negative, but going over more tests today. So that is something to monitor, especially if you took an Alonso MVP ticket, who squarely in the mix. But then after that, after the Mets and the Dodgers, who I think are a square above, the team to watch out for is the Braves, who the Braves have won six straight games. Acuna has homered three times in the last 2 days. The Braves are the dangerous team in the NL right now. And look, you're looking at the way that this is all going to play out. There are obviously the Brewers and the Cardinals are going to be in a dogfight most of the year in the NL Central. But the two teams out west behind the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants, and the Braves, more than likely. I guess you can throw the Phillies in there if you want. I think this hot streak is more of a mirage more than anything. But you are looking at, in the NL side, those teams, those five, realistically for four spots. The Cardinals, the Brewers, the Padres, the Giants, and the Braves. And if you're looking at teams to be threats in the playoffs, Atlanta, to me, is the one that is the biggest threat, more than likely. Now, again, the Brewers, like Josh said, has always had some problems beating up on good teams, beat up on bad teams. Don't see bad teams in the postseason. Jason Weingarten, he's coming your way next, the Numbers Game here on VSiN.